This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Our good Friday afternoon to you. Yeah, baby, we made it. Almost towards the weekend. Almost. Not almost. Quite at the finish line. Almost there. Mad Max is back from Dunedin, where after yesterday working with Denton Day for Kevin Sham, he took off on the private express jet, got in a throwing session with the Blue Jays last night. The
flights are getting shorter and shorter.
And back in full effect for a Friday edition of this here Fandangled Radio program, Little Rooster on the Radio. Good to have you with us. Max, I am sending you... I'm sending you something to your DM that I just saw. If you could grab that as quickly as possible, but no exact need to turn it around immediately. But
I mean, I can just play the clip if you want.
You can do that. It is. Tell me when you are ready to do
that. It's ready to go.
It is ready to go. All right. Before we get into some of the criticism of the Commanders offseason, before we get into everything else that we had planned for the show, including a little Caps. Not a good performance last night. The Wiz, a very good performance last night, but yet a killer injury. And some college hoops and whatnot. Maryland, of course, in the Big Ten. Tonight, George Mason coming up at 5. VCU going on right now over at Capital One Arena. So you got a bunch going on there. Before we get into that, I just stumbled across this. So I didn't realize, I got to be honest with you. The only thing that I was really concerned with about Javon Kinlaw was, wow, they overpaid him. That was my immediate reaction at 12:30 on Friday. And as radio is my witness, I was with Drab, our new brand manager, Matt right. Cahill, and I was with Mad Max. And we talked about this. And I'm not trying to hide from this. I know J.P. Finley disagrees. I think Javon Kinlaw got a way richer contract than I was expecting and that I think everyone else was expecting. And the market is what the market is. It doesn't mean you got to pay the market. It doesn't mean you got to do a multi-year deal. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean he's going to live up to the contract. Doesn't mean he's not going to. I mean, we'll have to see. But I got to be honest with you. I don't know why I miss this, but the dude's from D.C.
Yeah.
He's a hometown kid from Northeast D.C., and he grew up idolizing and rooting for the Washington Redskins. and then talked about it today when meeting with the media after officially signing his contract. So this is how we want to start the show, because it's a feel-good Friday still.
That's right.
So we want to feel good, right?
Well, I grew up in Northeast D.C., so I'm a real skin fan, point blank, period. And I was just telling somebody, when I was growing up, Trent Williams was on the team and Jordan Reed, and then I got to be teammates with them guys my rookie year. For me to be able to be on this team now is a full circle moment for me. And I know a lot about the transformation, man. It was in the blink of an eye. It's like you go from zero to hero, you know what I mean? And that's all I'm about, you know? That's kind of my life. And I can't wait to thrive with these guys, man. I feel so blessed, and I'm so happy to be here. Shoot, my whole family here, so.
All right, so Javon Kinlaw meeting with the media earlier today. Good job turning that around there, Mad Max. Appreciate you.
Always.
Because I just saw it. I mean, I heard it on the way in, but I didn't know if the actual clip was was up just yet that we could turn it around. So great turning it around in a jiffy. So here's why I wanted to start that, right? Listen, I still think Javon Kinlaw got way too rich of a contract. I was thinking 1 year, $8 million, $7 million, somewhere in that range. I would have been fine with that. 3 years, $45 million, too rich for my blood, $30 million guaranteed, $18.5 million cap number next year, even though you're likely not going to have Daron Payne. You're still going to have plenty of dead money from Daron Payne, so on and so forth. Got it. But when you can bring somebody home who identifies as a fan of the franchise that they are now playing for and getting paid handsomely by, sometimes that can be a little bit of a distraction. Sometimes that can be a little bit of a problem. Sometimes, you know, you may mix it up with the wrong crowd. Family might drive you crazy and distract you. You maybe get too lazy, what have you. And sometimes, and oftentimes, it can be a very positive, motivating factor. You want to play your ass off and do everything you can to represent yourself and your hometown and the team you grew up loving. You heard him talk about Trent Williams, Jordan Reed in 2020. I mean, I covered those guys most of their career. Jordan's entire career, Trent, his entire career here. And, like, you know, that must have been a really awe-inspiring, cool moment for Javon Kinlaw. Now, it didn't, like, propel him into living up to his mid-first-round status. And that's the most important thing that we must point out, is that so far Javon Kinlaw's career, based on, again, a number 14 overall pick, by the way, which is the same spot where Aaron Donald once went. So far, any reasonable analysis, any reasonable opinion, he's been a disappointment. But maybe, just maybe, the Commanders are getting a guy that it took 5 years for the oil to fully start running through the engine. And then once it coated all those pistons, and once it got through all the valves and all the stuff in an engine, the engine kicked into full gear.
That engine loses a little bit of weight, like he says he's going to?
Perhaps. Now, I don't want him to lose that much weight.
No, of course not.
Because part of the reason why I was kind of like, okay, how do I start liking this move, is a 318-pounder used on the edge to help set the edge, right? To be bigger than a sleeker Jonathan Allen or a sleeker defensive end, okay? So I don't want him to lose that much weight, but I want him to feel comfortable and good with wherever he feels he needs to be, and more importantly, where the athletic training staff feels he needs to be and where the coaching staff feels he needs to be. I'll let them deal with this. This, for me, is about a young man who has been, again, a disappointment so far in his career based on expectation, based on where he was drafted, based on any reasonable standard, coming home, getting handsomely paid by his hometown team, a team that was one step away from the Super Bowl, with a general manager that watched him in practice and saw him in the 49ers building, presumably every day for 4 years. And maybe, just maybe, hitting his stride. Maybe, like some, it takes a few years, maybe more than a few years, to hit your stride and to blossom, right? If you think about it, and I like to kind of make comparative analogies in life, right? And we do it with food all the time, but we do it with other things. And I was just talking about an engine and the oil running through the engine and coating the pistons and all that crap. Right? If you think about it, when you're 27 years old, you can be an immature hothead. You can have talent, but you can maybe misappropriate it. You can misplace it. You can think the world's against you. When you're 47 years old, 20 years later, you might have a completely different view of the world, of those around you, of your own mortality, of your skill set, of your pluses, of your minuses, of your strengths, of your weaknesses, right? 20-year difference in age, chronological age. My point being is, while Javon Kinlaw has no doubt about it, again, in any reasonable opinion, been a disappointment based on talent, expectation, draft status, all that, maybe, just maybe, year one, year two was trying to figure out where he belonged, how to play, how to practice, how to film study. Then he gets hurt, and he misses much of the next 2 years. And then he's got 1 year, and it just so happens to be that the 49ers go to the Super Bowl, and he plays a regular part of the rotation, but they're still not bringing him back. They gut a lot of their defense. To the Jets, to be with a former defensive coordinator that he had in San Francisco. And it didn't quite work out from a run defensive perspective, but it did, kind of, from a pass rush perspective, where he had, what, 4.5 sacks. And now, whatever he did and whatever he is, and certainly the familiarity with Adam Peters helps, Javon Kinlaw is in a position where he doesn't have to worry about money. He doesn't have to worry, per se, about being on a one-year trial, although, of course, anything could happen. But with the cap number being what it is next year, and with the rest of the structure, I would highly doubt he's a one-year player here. 2 years, different story. But I would highly doubt he's a one-year player here. But my point in saying all this is maybe between being a late bloomer, which we have to hope he is, being in a different system, being in a different scheme, hearing different voices. Darryl Tapp was a voice that I'm sure he heard plenty of in San Francisco. You don't think D. Tapp was instrumental in bringing him here? Again, I had no problem with them bringing him here. It was the contract that they paid him that I had the issue with. It's not, hey man, Javon Kinlaw sucks. He shouldn't be here. So I don't want to hear in mid-September when he's got 3 sacks in 2 games, Russell Rooster, you suck. You said you didn't want him. You said you hated him. No. I said they overpaid him. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I know some of you will have wax in your ears and will say, in September and October, when Javon Kinlaw is kicking ass, you hated him, you didn't want him here, how could you be talking nice about him, oh my God, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I'm telling you straight up, flat out, I had no problem with them bringing him here. It was the money that they paid him.
You dislike the price point,
yes,
not the player.
There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Oftentimes, they are conflated as one. There is a difference. So that being said, I would say this, okay, as we circle around the track here. He grew up in Northeast D.C. He grew up, as he said, a real Skins fan. Do you know how much...
how much goodwill he just bought with that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of people that I've seen respond to my tweets, that have called the show, that have reached out to me. A lot of people that thought, oh my God, what are we doing giving that kind of contract to that guy? He hadn't done anything. Not that that completely changes anything, but in this fickle fan base, Max, you hit it right on the head. It's exactly where I was going. And we did not discuss this.
No, this was not discussed. We're in lockstep.
Exactly where I was going. By saying, I grew up in Northeast D.C., I'm a real Skins fan, and then telling the story of Trent and Jordan, point blank, period.
Two huge fan favorites, by the way.
Yes. And that he grew up here, and that he didn't grow up here as a Cowboys fan, or an Eagles fan,
like
or
many
a
do.
Steelers fan, or a whatever fan. Javon Kinlaw just won himself a lot of fans, I think.
For sure.
A lot of fandom. A lot of support. Because this is a very, 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 very fickle fan base.
At times.
With one statement, which I'll admit, I didn't know. I mean, I know a lot of things. I don't know everything. There's a lot going on. I just didn't check. I mean, I knew he played his college ball at South Carolina. I didn't check where he's from. My bad.
Guys moved, too, so like you can look that up and then not know like how much time he spent growing up here and all that.
Or whether he's, and maybe we could have said, oh, he was born in Washington, D.C., whatever. I just missed it. I was more worried about the contract. I was more worried about the player. I was more worried about the fit. I was more worried about how they were going to use him. But Javon Kinlaw just won himself a lot of friends. And the fact, double down, the fact that he said, I'm a real Skins fan. That he didn't say, I'm a Commanders fan. I'm a real Commanders fan. The fact that he said, I'm a real Skins fan, is going to matter so much to this fan base. Perhaps more than anything he does between now and September, whatever, certainly, but maybe even after that, depending on how the season goes. Javon Kinlaw just won himself a lot of friends and perhaps a dinner or two out amongst friends. Now, maybe that doesn't matter to you, but I'm always happy when somebody gets to go home or somebody identifies someplace as home and gets to have success, right? A lot of times you hear the term about me, I'm an industry plant. I'm from here. I'm from there. I'm not from here. I don't get it. I don't know it. I don't believe it. I don't feel it. I don't... verbal throw up. Guys, I've lived here every day of my life since 2007, March of 2007. I've been here for 18 years now and 1 week. I think that qualifies. Not as a D.C. native, but as a Washingtonian, a DMV guy, as much as I am a New York guy. And while not everything has gone the way I wanted it to and the way I was hoping for it to in my personal life and in my professional life, I think I've carved out a niche, a home, a spot, a place, a part of the fabric. And this is home. This is where I will stay, period. Whether you like me or you don't like me, I know some of you would like to ship me off to, like, Belarus. But the point being is, when you get to come home, or when you get to establish roots, when you get to establish a home base, if it is your home already, while sometimes there are some negative things that can creep up and can happen, a lot of times you play with such a pride, you operate with such a pride, you go a little harder, a little extra. You do something a little bit better. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
You're for sure more willing to go the extra mile.
Exactly. Even if you're being handsomely paid. Javon Kinlaw, DC native. I grew up and I am a real Skins fan. What do you make of that? We'll get into what some of the critics have had to say about Javon Kinlaw and company coming up right here on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. Join us, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, at WrestleMania 621, at Snacks Ames. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. Just want to make sure that it sounded right in my head, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't butcher it. On Twitter, tweets, X, Twix, whatever the hell you want to call it, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. If you don't know this tune, you don't know music.
It's true.
You have no cultural awareness either. But most importantly, and for our purposes, on this Feel Good Friday, there's a fakeness to that because we're all hurting. Those of us that knew John Feinstein knew he was wonderfully complicated, is how I would say and describe John. He could be a thorn in your side. He could be a pain in the ass. He also could be one of your best friends. I've worked on and off with John for the better part of 22 years. We didn't work together a lot, here and there. He would call me and ask to come on the show to promote a book, you know, what have you. I always listened to him on the Junkies Friday mornings at 8 o'clock, when often this would be the rotational song. So I said to Mad Max this morning, I said, we paid tribute, obviously, to John yesterday when we were allowed to publicly, officially release the news, which, by the way, was 2 hours into the show when we knew before the show, but we were waiting for proper protocol. So that was hard. I don't mind telling you, it was difficult to try and block out everything and do a radio show having that kind of, you know, happen right before. But I thought the way we could, besides what we said yesterday, and I just put up a link at WrestleMania 621. It's at Team 980 as well. It's at the team980.com from yesterday when we were finally allowed to release the news, one, and then had Dan Lang in studio, the voice of American University, and the Eagles and the Patriot League and what that meant. And I've talked to obviously a lot of people, and I know this has once again, this is hit home with Brenda and, you know, we've obviously, talked and she knew John and John and Pete were very close. And, it's another really, really tough loss for us here at Odyssey DC and for us in the DC sports community and, you know, friends of ours, colleagues of ours, people that we got to know, their families, their idiosyncrasies,
Can you imagine the conversations they're having up there?
And that's the one thing I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. I said to Brenda this morning when we talked yesterday afternoon as well. I said, I'm not a very religious person. I'm not. I won't claim to be. I really, 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 really want to believe in all of that divine intervention, heaven stuff. I out of all this sadness, out of all the hurt for both families, John had a younger daughter than Kelly, Pete's daughter, and two older kids. For all the sadness, for all the hurt, for all the pain and the tears, the only thing you can hope with the NCAA tournament coming up, with Army-Navy down the line in Baltimore, with really specifically March Madness amongst us, that John and Pete are having a beer, a good meal. Nobody's got to clean it up. And they're somehow not in pain and smiling and looking down on us and trying to protect. And that's all, that's all you can hope for. That's all you can expect, I suppose. So we wanted to... And we will roll out, right, Max? You have other Billy Joel tunes?
I have so much Billy Joel.
So we will play Billy Joel as a consistent theme to the life and the legacy and the times of John Feinstein, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69 and left us way too early. And we think about John. We'll think about Pete. We'll think about both during this, conference championship weekend, during March Madness, during the NCAA tournament, and forever. Both of them were very significant contributors to this company, to these radio stations, to me personally, to others here in the building. We're all sad. We're all hurt. We do have to entertain and move on and try and distract and ourselves and you and... But we do it with a heavy heart, and we pay homage whenever we can and however we can. So I thought that would be a good way, and Max has done the good thing, the good work, and all the hard work. I just, kind of came up with the idea. Max done all the hard work. So we will be playing Billy Joel every return for... and in honor of John Feinstein. All right, before we get back into the rest of the show, we want to do a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, we are living here in Allentown. All right, Billy Joel, again, playing us back in honor and tribute to John Feinstein, who, again, we lost yesterday at the age of 69, so we will continue along. But we want to try and uplift as best we can, and try and provide a little entertainment and a little bit of relief from all of the horribleness in our world and sadness, quite honestly. And sports is often the way to do that. Not always, but often. When your favorite football team is making a lot of moves, there's going to be a lot of opinion and a lot of conjecture and a lot of thoughts and analysis and a lot of hot takes and a lot of things.
Naysayers.
Yes. So the Commanders, have, I just want to pull this up, made a lot of moves, to say the least. The Commanders have been busy boys. Adam Peters is not sleeping on the job, boys and girls. So this was put out by my guy, Jake Russell, who does some work with the Washington Post, author, just good all-around dude. One of my favorite guys to talk to. The Commanders have acquired Laremy Tunsil via trade, Deebo Samuel via trade, Javon Kinlaw, we just talked about, Eddie Goldman, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris, And last night they signed a defensive end. I got to double check his name because, quite honestly, it slipped my mind.
Jacob Martin.
Jacob Martin. There you go. My guy, you were on top of everything, Max. Appreciate the fact that you're just going back and forth between Dunedin and, you know, that express jet must make you smarter. It's a good investment by us.
A lot of time to study.
Yes, exactly. There you go. A lot of time in the air. They have re-signed amongst their own, right? Marcus Mariota, Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez, Noah Brown, KJ Osborne, Zach Ertz, John Bates, Michael Dieter, Bobby Wagner, Kevon Seymour, Zane Gonzalez, Tress Way. They have lost Diami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, who went to the Bears last night, in case you missed that, Cornelius Lucas, Browns, Jonathan Allen, Vikings, Mykel Walker to the Cardinals, Benjamin St. Juice, Chargers, Jeremy Chin, Raiders, and Derek Forrest to Buffalo. They still have a couple of free agents out there that are their own, right? I mean, they could still bring back Jamison Crowder. I had Noah Brown. Yeah. They could still bring back
Trent Scott and Sheldon Day in there too, right?
Oh, you know what? I forgot about Trent Scott and Sheldon Day, because this list, I had freezed this list before I think those guys came out. I'm sorry. Trent Scott and Sheldon Day as well added, that's why you're the man, Max.
I try.
To the list. And all of that is a long and short way to say they've been very, very, very busy. Now, they haven't re-signed everybody. They have clearly lost some people, as we just mentioned. Again, Diami Brown, Cornelius Lucas, Olamide Zaccheaus, Jonathan Allen, Mykel Walker, Benjamin St. Juice, Jeremy Chin, and Derek Forrest. Okay? And there might be a couple more, right? We knew, Dan Quinn said, he told those guys in Philadelphia, in the locker room after the NFC Championship, look around, take it in. This is going to be the last time this group is together. So we knew there was going to be, obviously, with 28, 29 free agents, we knew there was going to be a significant turnover. Now, when you say significant, it kind of depends on how you define that. I wouldn't say, right, outside of Jonathan Allen, maybe Diami Brown, that it's been significant departure after significant departure. But there have been guys like Cornelius Lucas that have been here for 5 years that have played instrumental roles in at least being able to field a somewhat competitive and at times good football team. Remember, Cornelius Lucas played roughly half the snaps for the first, 4 weeks last year, 5 weeks at left tackle, while Brandon Coleman was getting up to speed because he was injured during training camp and didn't play in the preseason. Remember that. People forget about that all the time. Same thing with Marcus Mariota, right? So the point being is they've lost some people. They've lost some important people. I wouldn't say they've lost anybody that is, what's the nice way to say this? Backbreaking? I don't know if that's a nice way to say it. But you get my point. I don't know if they've lost anybody that you just simply cannot do without. And clearly they feel they can do better, or at least offset, or maybe a little bit different, such as the case with like a guy like Will Harris is a very different player, but has some similar skills to Jeremy Chin. Anyway, long and the short of it is, If you look at what they've done, it is impossible to say that they are, in my opinion, that they are significantly better than when we last saw them on the field. It is also impossible, in my opinion, to say that they are clearly worse than when we last saw them on the field. So the truth is probably somewhere in between, as it often is. But that doesn't stop some of the critics, some of the analysis. Yesterday we told you the Commanders got an F grade by overthecap.com for the Javon Kinlaw deal. Not so much, again, the player acquisition, although the player acquisition feeds into the contract, but overthecap.com is a contract-based website and analysis. So they're more grading the contract as opposed to the player. We here are looking at as many different things as we can. And while they have clearly improved at left tackle, while I think they have probably improved and certainly very different at wide receiver, and I think they've improved at corner, and I think if Will Harris is what I've seen, they might have even improved at safety. As for the defensive line, they've changed dramatically. Out, Jonathan Allen. Not yet out, Dante Fowler and Cleveland Farrell. But not likely to come back. So maybe you want to put them in the out hopper right now. In, Dietrich Wise, Eddie Goldman, Javon Kinlaw, and what's the kid's name again that they signed last night from Chicago?
Jacob something.
Not Jacob Young. We had him on the show last week. He's the national center fielder. God, we're
Jacob Martin.
Jacob Martin. I could use a good Martin's potato roll right now.
Ooh.
With a sausage.
Bratwurst.
Yeah, bratwurst, yes. Just what my body needs. But anyway, the point being is they are very different on the defensive line. I don't know if they're improved. I don't know if they're better.
They're, dare I say, bigger?
They're bigger.
Which will probably help.
And they're different.
Yeah.
That being said, not everybody likes what they've done. What? Not everybody appreciates the approach of one Adam Peters and Lance Newmark. One of them is Connor Orr of the MMQB.
That's right.
Kind of not really affiliated with Sports Illustrated anymore, but it's kind of an offset or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what exactly the deal is.
Connor but writes for us.
Albert Breer, it was started by Peter King, so on and so forth. So Connor Orr was doing a podcast of some sort with Breer, I think yes. It was, and somebody else. And, well, let's just say he wasn't bringing home any roses for Adam Peters and the Commanders.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys, and bop, 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 bop. It's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot, that's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys, and then they were never the same.
And this is going to be, like, what's fascinating about as we'll get to watch it. You know, are you going to be better off if you're Kansas City holding on to your draft picks and signing Jalen Moore and projecting him to play left tackle for you? Are you going to be better off if you're Tennessee overpaying Dan Moore to play left tackle for you and holding on to your picks? Or is Washington going to be better off getting an established guy and, you know, draining draft picks not just from this year but next year too?
So that's Albert Breer kicking in with a little bit more, a comparative analysis. But the big one that we wanted to focus on, obviously, was Connor Orr. And I know people have been talking about this for the last day or so. So we were supposed to get to this yesterday. Then we just had constant signing after constant signing. So we got it. And then, you know, with John's passing and whatnot, we had to kind of push it to the side. So I hope everybody understands. Mad Max, can you play the very, 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 just the very beginning of what Connor Orr said about microwaving it, and he hates, I think the word was hate, the Commanders' offseason plan?
Of course.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys, and bop, 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 bop. It's not 2010 anymore.
Just stop it right there. So he did say hate. He said, I did not like Washington's process at all. I hate the idea of microwaving it. So here's what we want to ask. Have the Commanders microwaved their offseason so far? I know you don't hate it. Many of you. Maybe there's somebody out there that hates it.
There are a few of you.
Have they microwaved the process? Meaning they went further last year than anybody reasonably could have thought, including in the building.
This and theirs.
Yes. But I think the term microwaved is a very interesting term.
Sure.
Have they microwaved this offseason because they suddenly found themselves in the NFC Championship game and they woke up yesterday, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, hey, we're not that far away. We're one step away from the Super Bowl, and we're two big steps away from winning the damn thing. Have they microwaved the plan? Have they microwaved the offseason? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. My answer to that, Mad Max's answer to that, your answer to that, all coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Another one of Billy Joel's classic hits. We didn't start the fire in honor of the life and the legacy that John Feinstein leaves behind. We lost John yesterday, as everybody probably knows. So we remember him and his favorite artist and his favorite music and pay honor and homage to him any way that we can. Don't worry, we got some good stuff coming up. We can't do anything to change the reality, but we can remember the people that have made an indelible impact on us here in the DMV, in the sports world, in the literacy world.
48 books?
Yeah.
48?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's so many.
I remember when he started writing like children's books, and I may have said to him at some point, I don't know if I thought it or said it. I said, John, why would you do that? You know, like what, like, you know, and I think he explained it as, you know, like at some point you need a different challenge, right? I mean, he had written about a lot of golf, obviously. He had written tons about art, you know, between Army, Navy, the Patriot League, season on the print, just all of that. Needed a different challenge, you know, and
still made him New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, John was, again, wonderfully complicated. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a good buddy of mine today that knows him real well and, you know, had a long-standing relationship with him. You know, and he texted me and when we were planning something out, and he said, he could be extremely difficult at times with a crying emoji. That was John, you know, that was John. I mean, it seems like so many legends that have left us, you know, could at times be very complicated, right? And
complication comes with greatness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's rarely easy to just peel back that onion and reveal a perfection. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you what. Stevie Ray, hang on. We'll get to you right after the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You just heard Connor Orr. Are the Commanders microwaving the offseason? Are they microwaving their rebuild? What do we mean by microwaving? Are they fast cooking the rebuild and the ascent? Or are they doing just what's simply natural to do when you wake up and you find yourself in Philadelphia for the NFC Championship one Sunday in January? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Commanders fans, get on the horn. We want to hear from you. Are they microwaving the offseason, as Connor Orr has claimed? Yeah, baby. We didn't start the fire, but we can put it out. at least for this hour, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.